Welcome to the Voice of the Agent podcast, where I'm joined by people who helped shape the Voice of the Agent conference that we've just held. I am delighted that today we are joined by Steve Eakins, who works at a company called Lumon. Nice to see you, Steve.
Nice to see you too. Thank you for having me.
So go on then. For the listeners and the uninitiated, I'm sure everyone knows who you are and who Lumon is. Who are you and who's Lumon? Can you explain what the business does and what you do for them? Especially the whole concept of foreign exchange services, and particularly for our audience, if we get into how that plays in the role of people buying and selling houses.
Okay. Yes. Hello. Welcome. Hi, everybody. Hope this is useful for everybody. More and more people seem to have me in their phone as Steve Money or Steve Currency seems to be the words that people use. But as long as it's not offensive and memorable, I don't mind. But in essence, out there officially, I suppose people have me down as the kind of property savvy currency broker. And what a currency broker in essence is helping people move money around the world. We are, at the end of the day, an island, and people are moving money in and out of sterling, which is what we help them with. From a client's perspective, we basically offer them better rates of exchange and better service than the other bank. So they're very happy with us. And we do an awful lot of work with agents, because ultimately these clients that are coming in and a lot that are going out, which we'll probably come on to, from an agent's perspective, it means that those international buyers, all of a sudden their offers get bigger. Or perhaps the agent might be able to sell them or show them a more expensive property. And equally, the vendors that are leaving, and there's a bit more of them at the moment, again, we'll probably come on to that, it means that they can theoretically accept a lower offer because we're giving them more for their pounds. And in this particularly price-sensitive market, all of a sudden I'm a bit more in demand than I was
before. Just so I understand, Lumon does more than residential. Right, it does foreign exchange more generally, or it's just dealing with the residential market?
We do all elements of currency management and transfers. So we do both private and corporate management. Okay. So a lot of clients come to us around a property transaction, and then they might have international businesses or other bits and pieces. But we recently celebrated this summer 25 years of doing it. So we've got a lot of experience in-house helping people from an array of things. Yes, our bread and butter stuff is property, but we've done all random things from, well, if you go down the M4 past Reading, you'll see this big solar power field on the left. Yep, we might have moved the money in for that. We've done helicopters, livestock traders, so people that go over to Europe and bring livestock over, a whole array of things. And once people kind of go, hey, I know a guy and I know this person. Everyone's got someone that does this. They just aren't even aware in the UK that our industry exists. This is a massive thing, to be honest. To be honest, in our industry, Europe is the biggest playground. And that's where you have the higher Brit kind of concentration of people coming in and coming out. Again, that's changing a lot at the moment, which people always ask me about. But we're probably the biggest in France, second in Spain, biggest in Portugal. So we're now 200 people across 10 offices throughout Europe. And it did make me laugh this summer where a lot of agents went to escape and then they'd send me photos outside my office or on my bus. And we're everywhere. Are you really this big? And I'm like, yeah, we're pretty big, to be honest. Yeah, we are. We're trying to take over. But yeah, in the UK, from an agent's perspective, a nice way of summarising it really is we're kind of like property staging was 5 years ago, or presenter led video was 5 years ago. And people are very much know that those industries and those benefits exist. They're either fully absorbing it or it's on the to-do list for them. I'm the next wave of new things people need to think about.
So if you've got any kind of international business at all, correct, having Steve Money in your WhatsApp's quite a handy person to have in there?
Correct, yes. And that's what people will see first for me. Normally, there's a number of groups and communities. I know we've all got lots of WhatsApp groups we're part of. But I run quite a few for people who it's basically a broadcast thing rather than a big one with hundreds of messages in. And I'll put one or two bits of content in a week, which allows the reader, the community, to see a bit of content around what's going on. So, for example, we've got interest rates coming up in December. The probability of that's jumped in this week because of jobless data. It's jumped up from just shy of 50% to over 80%. And which agent isn't asked about interest rates when they're in someone's house sitting on the sofa? It's a regular topic. So all good agents like to know a little bit about something. So that's where people normally come across me first. Yeah.
And we talk at the Voice of the Agent and the conference about, you know, the professionalism of an agent is what makes a big difference. So actually knowing more about the market, financial markets, just makes you stand above a typical agent than you're just selling houses, especially at the higher end where you'll Yeah, obviously FX affects everyone to an extent if they're traveling on holiday for abroad or whatever for holidays. But at the higher end, we see a later is of international inflows and outflows of money. So it just means you talk with some knowledge because an expert's told you what to say.
Yes, we're normally. Someone called me this, which was quite. I quite like this, to be honest. It kind of said that the guy behind every good agent. It's like, oh, okay, that's quite nice. I like that. Yeah, so I'm a member of a lot of brands' teams to help them with this because it's helping clients move. It's adding additional revenue stream to agents. It's standing out from the rest of the high street. Again, maybe some of the heavy line numbers you'll be interested in about how many people are moving around because I think a lot of people also think. And I'll be honest, I would be surprised if a lot of people listening to this are already going, this is a London thing. We actually do more work with agents in Wales than we do in London. We do more work with people in Devon than we do in Wales. So,
Right.
people listening to this, please don't just assume it's a London thing. It is not. And at the moment, 4 out of 5 clients I'm being introduced to by agent networks across the UK are vendors, are not. International buyers, which is the other thing, because people always, great, I've got you, Steve. I know what you do. Save me your phone. I'll let you know when I get my next inquiry from Dubai or Hong Kong. I'm like, yes, please. But in all honesty, you'll probably have a client that we can help and we can help you with already in your pipeline. It's
And
already in.
let's come on to that because that's a really important point, actually. You know, within a database, if you've got a nice database of relatively affluent people, which let's face it, homeowners are, generally speaking, and landlords, foreign exchange can play a role outside any housing transaction. It can play a role. I'm just conscious, I really want to understand this a little bit more because this is not an I literally came across you guys, I think, through Find a Country when I was the CEO there. And then really, since you see I was working with Lemon and Lime and you work very closely with Lemon and Lime, the home staging, the house staging people, property staging people. So go on. Foreign exchange and rates can really shift dramatically during a property transaction. I mean, it's quite a volatile place, FX. How can fluctuations in sterling versus other currencies affect the real total cost for buyers and sellers? And can you help mitigate it?
Yes and yes. Okay. Let me give you some examples. So when I first started in this industry nearly 20 odd years ago, if the exchange rate moved by 0.5%, it would be on the front of the FT, be big, big news. Now with Trump and budgets and a few proxy wars, if we see a 0.5% movement 3 days in a week, it's a slow week. So the currency market is moving a lot. So it's really around risk mitigation in the currency market. So that's probably what clients like us, you know, yes, if we couldn't save them money, we wouldn't have 200 people on the payroll. So we can certainly save clients money, but it's also when was the last time the bank rang any of us? You know, when you're looking at the markets, it's here's the current rate, which is better than the bank, but here's the trend, here are the days of events coming up, this is how much it might impact you, here's the upside, here's the downside, here's the how do you want to manage this, where the funds, et cetera, to help them mitigate that. Real life stories, you know, we'll help vendors and buyers, as we know. We've helped buyers, well, agents have got us involved in a sale. There was one relatively recent, which a lot of people resonate with. And it wasn't a small property, and it was down to the last 0.5%. Buyer and seller didn't want to move from the final 0.5%. And the agent realized that the buyer was bringing funds in from Europe. Introduced us on that call. We did what's the bank giving you? They're giving us X, we're giving Y. We were able to increase that buyer's offer by 1.5% on that phone call. Next phone call, agent deal done that day because we could give them more for their money. Just transactional, just that.
Same amount of money, different exchange rate.
Correct. So still selling the same amount of euros, but we could give them 1.5% more pounds, allowing them to increase their offer on the property. Deal done. The one that I should probably print on t-shirts is the vendor side, because there's so many more of these, really. And I love these. And there's a couple a month easy that I'm aware of, where agents will give me a call and go, Steve, I'm going to this vendor. I've got this great offer. You know, it's a cash buyer, it's no chain. It represents the market at the moment, but it's below the asking price. I know the vendor's going to be moving. Can you help? And we'll do the maths on the phone within a minute or two. It's pretty easy. Our side, at least, it is. Again, that's why, you know, have a team of people around you, people. And I can quickly go, right, yes, go and speak to the vendor. This is a good news story. This is a price that's below the asking price, but it represents the market. You know, all the bits that we talk about, it's cash, it's no chain. And yes, it is below the asking price, but this below asking price offer now gives the vendor more euros than if I got you a full asking price 6 months ago when I listed the property for you, just because the exchange rates move so much. So in the last 30 days, pound euros 2%, pound dollars moved 3-4%. Here's in it that the pound dollar exchange rate this year, and we're in mid-November, so almost the year, between the top and the bottom of the exchange rate, it's varied by 16%. So that means that, and again, with the flow of people leaving for that part of the world, Dubai is a hot topic, a conversation of traffic of wealth. If you, Mr. and Mrs. Agent, listening to this now and going, how does this resonate? If you have got someone that you're selling a property for and you know they're moving to Dubai, they could theoretically reduce their asking price by 5% and still get the same amount of dirhams than they would have got 2 months ago, just because the exchange rates moved.
So I'm curious. I mean, obviously you're not the only player in the market, but obviously you're a big one. What percentage of estate agents genuinely understand the power of FX? I mean, okay, it doesn't affect everyone, and this is a bit about how long's a piece of string, but I'm always surprised. I met Elaine Penhall at Lemon and Lime. I was blind, now I see the value of home staging, and despite being in the industry at that point for 5, 6 years, never really heard about or thought about home staging. Even having worked at Knight Frank and John D. Wood. Now I've encountered the world of FX, and I almost feel like every estate agent should know about these things. What do you think the awareness is, or the kind of the, because I'm curious
It's
if you.
not. It's nowhere near huge. In Europe, the agents and immobiliers out there will be the first or second service they'll introduce to an international client. They are very educated and aware of the benefits of the value. In the UK, it isn't, and the big brands have normally got a currency partner. But in essence, the exec have ticked a box. They're not really engaging, educating, and informing people around it. There's nothing there. They've just ticked the box. So it's a lot of the smaller firms that are seeing the benefit and the value of it. And as with most new kind of added values and added services, I'll be honest, it's the top of the market in the UK, which is going, yes, I see this value. I'm open to learning something new. I can see the value. I will do this. So they're more of the early adopters. But saying that, don't assume that the transfers that we do are all the top. Our average first client transfer amount is 220, £230,000. We're getting introduced to thousands of clients a month, thousands from our partners across Europe. And the client's buying through them, but guess who they're selling through? It's in the UK, and it's just the agent hasn't spotted it and seen it. So the education and adoption isn't there, and that's part of the reason why I'm getting asked to talk more about things to make people aware of, oh, I didn't know this was even here.
You probably don't know the number, but I mean, so it'd be great if we could find the data and share it when the podcast goes out. Is, I mean, it may not be possible to find, is what percentage of direct clients have come to you who've been in the process of a housing transaction that haven't had an agent involved in the process?
It will be a sizable amount. But hey, that's a
Because
good problem from
that's
my
all lost
perspective.
revenue. That's all lost revenue for an agent, isn't it?
Hugely. Yeah, this is when I'm talking to agents and I'll go in and speak to them and see them, and as I kind of alluded to, I go, before I do anything, just get your pipeline up for me. Just do me a favor, give me the list. They go the list and go, oh, that's a French name. Yeah, they're going back to France. Oh, that's an American number. Yeah, they're American. Okay, right. Well, there's three, four there already. And
That's such a good point. There's
commission, the revenue isn't teeny either. In our industry averages around 1% kind of spread, as we refer to it in our industry, the equivalent of agents' fees, and we'll give out 20, 25% of that to the introducer. So there are many, many agents out there that hand on heart say to me, I've earned more through currency than selling the bloody property. Just because I've got a client today who rang me yelping down the phone. I've just sent him 5.5 grand in commission from a client he introduced us to at the beginning of the year that he never even met. This was an inquiry they had on a property coming across. They traded with us last month. This agent didn't know about our industry at the beginning of the year, made the introduction at the beginning of the year. The client's used us last month. He's got 5.5 grand from a text message and an email. Not teeny amount. So yeah, it can make a big difference. It is. Part of my role here is to educate and inform and make people aware of it. If you're listening to this, pause the podcast right now. Go check. Go have a look. You'll be surprised. The numbers are big. And if you want an idea of the numbers, the Rightmove data access that we got access to for last year, it was about 32,000-33,000 Brits who relocated, who sold in the UK and moved to Europe last year. So it's about 100 completions a day last year, where the funds are going abroad. And this year, I wouldn't be surprised if it's much bigger than that with the movement of wealth that people were
You're
talking about.
segueing perfectly into the next question. This is getting way too easy. I'm being way too nice to you. So I'm going to push you on this one. We hear a lot about wealth flight, the famous Henley and Partners, X thousand people leaving the UK. Wealth flight, or what's horribly called Wexit, high net worth individuals moving assets overseas. Are you seeing this trend at Lumon, and what impact is having on currency flows and property markets?
Currency flows doesn't make too much of a difference because ultimately these monies, the currency world is trillions a day. So people doing a bit more doesn't have an impact there. It's certainly changing the makeup of the UK property market to some degree. Yeah, the Henley and Partners report you relate to, they, for the people that haven't spotted that one, it got a lot of press and then the people went against them. Is it true? Is it not? It's about 16,500 millionaires leaving the UK this year. It's 300 a week. It's a huge amount of money, and they will be property millionaires, not bank account millionaires. So they will be selling through agents that are listening to this call right now. People will go through it, and people will probably go in, "Oh, I had one of these before. Wish I knew this before." Yes, you've got that horrible feeling now. Don't miss it next time. Ask the question, or a good trick for it is to put it into your offer forms or your inquiry forms or MA forms, just so that you can identify those clients as a safety net. Now, if you really look at how many millionaires there are in the UK, the 16,500 that gets the press isn't a huge percentage.
It's about 0.5%, isn't it? So there's 3 million
Correct.
millionaires,
Correct.
of which most of that is property related,
Correct.
as opposed to self-made. Otherwise, there's a chunk of self-made, and it's about 0.5%, isn't it? Because I
So
mean, you know, a
it's not a
lot.
huge a proportion of it. The thing that Henley and Partners report tried to give is the fact that the UK had the biggest exodus of wealth. From a country's perspective, that was their angle, and it's just that was how they portrayed the data.
On that, what's really interesting, because if you look at that Henley data, what's interesting is that a lot of Europe has pretty much a zero net outflow, actually has more inflows. I've got to ask, we mentioned Wexit. There's another thing that rhymes with exit. Is one of the other reasons why we're seeing the exit, it's got nothing to do with tax policies, the fact that we're outside the EU?
I don't think it
That
has to
too
do with it,
political.
no. The B word, Brexit word, yeah, there was a big flow of bits and pieces there. The uncertainty, I think, generally the everyday client that we're dealing with, and if your average acquisition age of a client for us is about 61, they are people who have been planning a move to France, Spain, Portugal for decades. And that proportion of people that are doing it as the generations get older is generally contracting. It's just in the last 12, 18 months, we've had this spike of interest, both of out of the UK tax concerns, but equally Dubai is this pretty thing in the sunshine, let's go there. And that the traffic of wealth of relocation has changed. Spain was always the biggest, then France, then it would be Italy or Portugal, and then Greece and Cyprus and others. Last year's report showed that across all price points, UAE, Dubai, was the second largest relocation destination for us Brits.
Right.
So where people are going is also changing.
And is there a double bubble here if you build a relationship? Because a lot of people who migrate come back.
That's another great thing to highlight. So if we talking from my perspective across UK-based partners, if I get introduced to five clients, four of them are vendors leaving. So a big proportion. The people that are coming into the UK, if I'm introduced to five people coming into the UK, at the moment, three of them are American,
Okay.
which we can come on to if you're interested.
Yeah.
But however, one of the five is a returning expat. So the stats out there is that 60% of expats return or reinvest back in the UK within the first 3 years.
Okay.
So
Wow.
if people have left, From an agent's perspective, there's the currency bit, there's the wealth bit, there's the international removal bit, there's the visa bit, there's a whole ecosystem of suppliers that help clients achieve that. It's not like they just go on Google and do it. There's a whole industry around this. And if agents aren't teeing into this, they're just removing a client from their database. There's an exit opportunity of revenue that you can associate value to, and they will remember that when they come back.
Yes.
Or in a
Fantastic.
majority of cases, immediately when one moves, you'll find that loads of others move. So the
And
Dubai journey, we get quite a lot randomly out of Nottingham, and then all of a sudden they've introduced another one, another one, another, and it's this whole exodus going to one destination.
while for a lot of people, migration out is the right thing to do, for a lot of people, it's an experiment that doesn't quite work because you miss family, friends. Actually, the UK is actually a very nice place to live from a climate. Dubai is hot. And yeah, I would last about a minute, I think, in the UAE, with my Scandinavian skin. Christian Byfield, you're not the only Viking.
Well,
Some of us have been
but
more diluted.
historically, we've been putting it into Europe
Yeah.
and we've been doing it for 25 years, so we've got the data. And generally speaking, if you're interested, it used to be that if you bought in France, you'd sell that and come back within 7 years and 8 months. In Spain, it was 8 years and 4 months. In Portugal, it was about 12 years. So
Fantastic.
we know the stats and follow the stats and follow the clients, because when a client's introduced to us, we treat that like gold dust. We much prefer to reward the introducer rather than paying it to Google. A client will on average trade with us about 4.8 times, and the client, when every time we're earning money from it, the introducer earns revenue from it as well. So there's no silly honeymoon phases from a commission perspective. When people start working and engaging with us and just getting into the practice of asking or spotting it, the commission revenue line compounds significantly.
Right.
The amount of money that we pay out in commission to our partners on a monthly basis is a six-figure sum every month. And generally speaking, the UK agency world is missing a trick.
And
But there's lots of tricks out there. There's lots of things that agents can talk about, and I totally appreciate I'm just one of those. So it's just worth thinking about.
the research that we got from the Voice of the Agent is the best agents have all of the above, because you offer the wares. And in the conversation, you understand the specific circumstances of a buyer or seller, and therefore you have this. If you're just selling houses, put it on a portal and pray, you're not giving the armory of things that could help them make their lives simpler, be that a foreign exchange, be that staging, be that some advice on moving house, reference to a mortgage provider. There's things that you can do that show you genuinely understand. And if you just stick it on a portal and pray, there's a reason why fees keep falling. And if you can make your fee more competitive if you want to, because you're getting other money in, everyone's a winner. Okay,
Here's a
so we
good
talked about
example of that on
conversion.
fees, if you like. Step back for a little bit. So the agency fees in the UK, I don't want to open up that tin of worms around how the fact that everyone is underpaid for what you all do. Totally agree, because I see it in Europe and they do a lot less and they get a hell of a lot more. But what I would say is, in Europe, agents and immobiliers out there aren't looking for listings, aren't looking for vendors. They're looking for active buyers. So
Yes.
when what we'll often do when we're introduced to these clients is, will then help them with that and pass that back to the ultimate introducing agent. So, for instance, we did a webinar, and it was moving to Dubai, and someone who was in that audience ended up buying a property in Dubai. The agency in Dubai earned £300,000 in revenue from that biggie, of which they were giving out £60,000 to the introducer in the UK for basically making an introduction. So it's not an everyday thing, but it is a punchy number if you think about it. It's just recognizing this person's leaving. Whether or not you remember everything on this podcast that we're doing now, or if you remember the little bit of Steve Money, Steve Currency, Steve, I've got this, what do I do? Have a chat with this person, have a chat with this person. I just love putting good people together and what you agree we do.
And I'll testify, I mean, the introductions we've had with you as well. And actually, it was lovely on the Prime panel we had. You already knew Maria Santillana from DDRE, from a Prime end. So that's obviously the super Prime end. Okay, so from your vantage point, we've talked about it a bit, but let's go into a bit more. Where are UK buyers currently looking abroad? Which international markets are drawing the most interest? And also vice versa. We talked about people leaving, but people are coming in. And we actually have, in the UK overall, we have a net inflow of money. That's kind of a nice place to be, although individuals are leaving. So talk about the flows both way. Where are we going and where are they coming from?
Destinations people are going first. Last year, the data was Spain being top, 9,000, Dubai second, just over 6, France third, just under 6, and then it goes down to the Portugal, Italy, Cyprus, Greece as those destinations.
There's a
Well,
theme forming there.
yeah, there is. And what you'll find, agents that are listening to this, once you've identified where one person's going to, normally it's there's a higher concentration postcode by postcode. You will find that community exits to one place. Different
Okay.
angle there, and Simon Gates will mention this as well. Like, use that to your advantage. You know, when you're doing mail drops and send outs, if you know they're all going to bloody Dubai, tell them that you know someone. And again, you'll stand out from the rest of the high street. With regards
Yes.
to money coming in, again, with the wealth concerns and budget, we're recording this a couple of weeks before budget, so we'll know a little bit more in the future. Generally, as soon as Labour came in, there wasn't any Middle Eastern victory laps going around Mayfair. The Middle Eastern world aren't really buying in the UK as much. Equally, rich Europeans aren't, again, because of this wealth piece. And I know we all look internally in us and our political situation, but remember that last year was the biggest year on record where billions of people went to the polls and voted. So most
Yes.
countries have got new governments and people are upset and people are, you know, governments are fulfilling on pledges or falling on the sword, depending on where you look. So there is all this uncertainty and flow. What we'll find at the moment, and this is relevant for everybody, the US is the most active at the moment from the emotional buyer.
Yeah.
And there are agents that I deal with who go, I much prefer an American than a local because they don't know the property history. They don't know everything else. Yes, they want a deal, but they don't want a big deal. It's not as price sensitive. So
Yes.
they are, and we do a lot with Americans, and every month we must do quite a few Americans that we're introduced to by the agent when they do their inquiry. And the client buys their pounds before they've landed in the UK.
Right.
Let
Okay.
that resonate for a second from an agent's perspective. You get an inquiry or a right move or whatever, I'm over and I want to look at it. You need to speak to Steve Currency, have a chat with us. We qualify, go the SOL, do all the source of wealth, all those kind of bits. We trade the client's funds before they've landed to see you. It means you're earning money before you've seen them. And before you give up your weekend from family and friends and football and everything else, you know that client's super motivated because we've got their money. So it's really super useful.
Now, London's come out again as the number one city in the world in the survey of best cities in the world, which obviously, and you said earlier, I think it's a really point. This is not just a London story. Where are people from coming into the UK looking in the, what are people from outside the UK looking at in the UK? Where are we, is it all the Cotswolds and the what's it called set that we have out there?
Yeah, the high destination places are people in the, well, the Americans are doing Cotswolds and doing castles, Cotswolds and castles. So if you as an agent have got a, because a lot of agents go, how do I get access to these Americans? They sound good. What do I do? Well, first off, two things to look at. First off, if you've got a property that sells a story, put it on socials and try and connect with people in the US to reshare that story, because those pretty historic properties are the ones that will hook the American in.
And
The
just on
American,
that one, we have the old one of the oldest stocks in Europe, don't we? And actually, we live in a house that was built in 1750. My American clients and friends are fascinated by that. It's older than the United States. Actually, it doesn't need to be a castle per se, although a castle's a good example, but a property that is a picture postcode,
correct.
short red box cover, amazing property that actually we see as a another nice house in the UK is mind-blowing to people who come from younger countries.
What they often do is that will be the hook for the Americans. They'll love the dream. They'll get the survey done, and the survey says, oh, it's got a bit of this, and that wall isn't straight. And then all of a sudden, the American, oh, no, I need something newer. But it's the hook to get them.
Yeah.
The other thing to take away from this, if you're still listening in it, if you've got listings at the moment, which you're struggling to retain on market, why wouldn't you use that information to go to the vendor that that property's lovely? We're going to go and push that to the US. They're the emotional buyers at the moment. That can help the agents that are still listening to this to prolong the listing of that property because you're talking to them about something that no one else on the high street is talking about.
Interesting. So, okay, Cotswolds is a tick. I hear about Scotland actually in some of the more emptier parts of the UK. Not that Scotland's empty. Sorry to my Scottish friends. I'm not saying Scotland's empty. There's just more emptiness in Scotland than there is where I live in the UK. So talking about other places in the UK where people are looking.
Scotland, they love because of the speed of a purchase. It's more relevant to the US. You know, the US, you find a property, you like it, you put an offer forward, it's yours in a week. We can all be jealous of that, right? So they get attracted to the Scottish element for it as well. They like coastals. Oh, here's a good example. We helped an American rebuy their family home on the south coast this year. I love this one. I was introduced to them April time, and they put the offer forward. Their budget didn't have that much excess in, should we say. Peak of Trump tariffs, if we remember that, that we'll try and forget about, but you know, peak uncertainty. At that point, we helped the client did what's called a forward contract, which is like a buy now, pay later option. Useful. When the completion came around in end of June, July time, we did the maths. If they bought the pounds at the time of the completion rather than back at the time that the offer was accepted, it would have cost them another. Pause for effect because it's a biggie. $180,000. $180,000 more if they hadn't bought early. Now, from an agent's perspective, I'm definitely on that agent's Christmas card list because that saved the deal. You know, you guys and girls only get paid on the sale. We're aware of that. You need to protect those sales. If you've got international exposure, this currency movement can make you lose a deal. I do get agents that unfortunately. Clients in particular, I'll get them crying on the phone to me because I can't pull a rabbit out of a hat on the day of completion. I can't do that. But equally, I've also got others that are jumping for joy and they've got an extra bedroom in their house because the exchange rate's done that much for their budget. So it can make and break a deal.
I love this. So go on then. What people make mistakes. What are the most common mistakes in cross-border transactions? When someone's purchasing or selling a property abroad, what, where do they, I mean, the last minute thing is obviously one of them. Where else do they get this wrong and how can they avoid them?
From a client's perspective, you'd be surprised how many people, when we speak to them, go, oh, I think this is going to happen because someone in the pub told me. And you're like, oh, they must work for us then. Oh, no. Oh, okay then. So lots of people do that. Lots of people, from a client's perspective, get the knowledge of how much the market will move and they get excited by the gain. Ooh. And they go, oh, I'm going to roll the dice. I think these reasons, and we'll, you know, respectively challenge that in a nice way of kind of going, what's the economical, political reason behind it? And that's when they'll go, oh, a friend told me it's going to happen. Okay, if you want to, just be aware of the risk to reward ratio. And everyone here won't be surprised by how many times we get an email at 2 in the morning going, can we speak first thing, please? I can't sleep. Because they realize, and it's that point around in this, it's very relatable to everyone listening. How many times do you get asked, is this a good time to buy property? It's totally the same from a current. Is this a good time to buy? It's like, well, you're budgeting for it now. You know, worst case scenarios, you buy now and it gets a bit better. You kick yourself, but in the nicest of ways, you budgeted for what it costs you now, and you've got it in budget. Or you roll the dice on it and it gets more expensive, and then you're chasing a tail. And it is that going to hurt more? And a lot of clients go, yes. Or back to that prior point, other than unlike a property, unfortunately, when you can go, do you want it or not? And they go on 50-50. From our perspective, well, if you're 50-50, why aren't you mirroring your risk exposure to your capital exposure? You don't need to do it once. Why don't you do some of it now and some of it later? Why don't you do some of it now and are, you know, what's in your budget? If it gets up to this level, I really want to buy. If it goes down to this level, oh, it doesn't work. I'll put automatic buy orders in for you if you like. So it will never get outside of that range. And I can let you know when it gets to this level and we should speak at this day at this time. That proactive information education, proactive looking after the client, in essence, being their eyes and ears in the market so they can make a more informed decision, is why we've got the hundreds and hundreds of 5-star reviews from clients of what we're doing. Wouldn't you
And in
like to
some ways,
buy more?
you're not asking people to be day traders and do
No.
this as a, your job is to maximize the opportunity for your client and obviously for the agent to protect the sale or the purchase. And that's critical. So everyone wins. But, being the key thing I find in the whole industry is it's so beige and undifferentiated. And this is the in the property industry. I think you're right. They all do a friend. They all work incredibly hard, but having something different is a, you as you say, you recognize the American mobile number, the plus one, or the plus whatever, it's just not plus 44. You recognise that foreign name, or you hear a different accent that is quite clearly from the continent or from the Americas or from other parts of the Commonwealth. And you go, okay, just out of interest, where are you buying, or where are you selling, or are you moving money between
Follow
borders?
The client. Yeah,
it's just
sure.
Literally know your client as a five-dimensional client, as opposed to selling a house, buying a house. It's not complicated. It just gives you a point of difference and makes you memorable. Do you remember Steve from that agency? They mentioned currency, and that's going to mean something to us. We should give them a call because they had a difference.
Well, how about this? Most people listening to this will be part of a network, whether or not it's RAN, Kerfuffle, the Guild, plenty out there, not saying there's a favourite, there's lots out there, and you will follow clients. And normally when you're doing those annual reviews, how many referrals have I had in from the network that I'm part of? Equally, how many referrals have you passed out? And lots of people that I work with will be part of those networks to represent bottom and top of market, and they will know if they're moving locally and refer to their other office or outside of region into those other networks I've mentioned. Or if they're going outside of the country, now they've got somebody. Right, you need to meet Steve now. Right, I'll send it to them. And that's how it can work. So it's just standing out from that and asking that question, following the client so you can get that value and be remembered for sure.
Brilliant. So traditionally, when people think about property, it's obviously the agents, mortgages, surveys, lawyers. Mm-hmm. Very rarely, if ever, currency. And they're actually probably struggling to think about mortgages, surveys, and lawyers. Why do you think FX planning is actually as essential as those other steps that we sort of take for granted in the property industry?
From a client's perspective, it's because the currency market is moving so bloody much. If you're planning a move and looking at the numbers, I'm in the market for this amount, I've now sold, the completion takes how long, how many completions fall through, unfortunately, in the UK market. The completion then takes place, and then they look and go, oh, X doesn't equal Y anymore. Oh no, my life is now going to be different. The amount of bedrooms I have in my property is going to be different. It's such a big deal now. And how many agents negotiate on a deal on the last couple of percent? Wouldn't you love for me to go, you don't need to, because the market's given them that?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be useful?
Actually, the delays, not delays, what is delays? The delays in other parts, it's 195 days from instruction to completion now. And it goes higher, actually, like 221 days at the high end. So, the valuable the property, the more goes up. That is a lot of time for currency to move. A lot of time for currency to move.
Right.
So if you hedge it in some way and speak to an expert who can help you, either give you more money or protect what you've got, that's kind of, and we're talking about, it's the upper quartile mainly, but even at a lower end, it can absolutely be someone who's buying a property for investment, for their kid who's coming over to university. The range is vast, but unless you ask, how would you ever know?
The three introductions I've had so far this morning, one's 120, one's 280, and one's 720.
Right.
It's not that's just top of market. If you're not asking, you're missing a trick. So something worth thinking about for sure. And back to that prior point, if you're listening to this and think this is useful, put it into your offer letter, put it into your VA letter, your vow letter. As part of this purchase or your wider finances, are you moving money internationally? A simple yes, no question. And so many offices I deal with, put that in, it takes you what, 5 minutes?
Yeah.
And quite a few agents have that as a safety net, British as British can be, so you don't ask or think about it. And they go, oh, actually, yeah. Now I've got a place in Spain.
So this isn't financial advice, just to stress for everyone listening, we're not giving financial advice on this, but with political economic uncertainty, a budget around the corner, shifting interest rates and political change, what do you anticipate for the foreign exchange market over the next year? And how do you think homeowners and agents should prepare?
Good question. Let me just get my crystal ball off the shelf. Mine is as murky as everyone else's, right? We don't know. But what we do know is it's not going to be still, is it, right? It's going to keep moving. And as a result, there's a risk there that people need to be aware of. With regards to pinning my name on a theme and trend, more people are going to leave. It's going to be a talk point. Respectively, the government will raise taxes. That's very probable. And there's going to be more of that push from the media, right or wrong, that narrative around people leaving. So even though people might not actually do it, I'm sure people hear about it in the pubs and on the streets. And when agents are stopped on the street, you will see it. And that's the other thing to think about. You know, if you're thinking about window shops and things, if you've got part of your wider network, put an international property on there. They're more likely to stop and look at that pretty thing, especially at the moment when it's raining sideways, and you'll get up and engage with you more as a result of doing something different that others aren't. So, yeah, going forward, if you're asking me if what's going to happen, I don't know. Rates will keep moving, markets will keep moving. Agents should be aware of this as a result. We are going to see more people leaving than coming in, I would expect. It's going to be easy for you to identify the Americans, and it's going to be easy if you take something away from this to identify those people leaving. And trust me, once you've done this once, so many people, I do this, and then I send them the commission, and I get grown-ups yelping down the phone at me, which is my favorite bit. And then the next day, I'll get it's three more clients because it becomes real. So all I'd say is, I'm here for a reason. Check me out, have a look at it, do what you want to do, but just find that opportunity for me to show you what this is. And yeah, I'll be on your Christmas card list for years to come, honest.
So we've done 45 minutes and you've sort of done it a little bit there, but let's make this clear, you know, this is a chance for a shameless plug. Let's say someone out there, they're running in the gym at the moment going, you know what, I've got Jane and John who were talking to me the other day. They said, right, how do I get Lumon, big company, to talk to me, little agent, and help my clients? What do we do next?
Give me a call, give me a message. Like, this will make you laugh. When I first joined the business, our biggest lead flow was CFAX. Woo!
The young
Now I
people
get,
in the audience, this was a very
yeah,
early
that's a little
version
bit
of
up.
the
Yeah, if you see someone laughing on the treadmill now, that's the reason why. But now it's Instagram. So just search, just put me Steve Currency into Instagram or whatever. The links will no doubt be on here. Thank you. Just send me a message.
we'll put all the links in beneath this so people can reach out to you.
Hand on heart, say hopefully I'm not scary looking. Hopefully you get a gist that I know what I'm talking about. You know, big boy trousers on. Give me a call, send me a message, and we'll have a chat. And yeah, I just need the opportunity to show you what it is. But it's an easy thing, you know. If you've got clients like next in the process, you need to speak to Steve. I'll introduce you on email, have a chat. And at the very least, the worst case scenario, that they thank you for the introduction and go, oh, I'm fine. But no one else will be doing it.
Brilliant. Steve, that was absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much. I'm sure loads of our audience are going to get tons from this, and I suspect you might get a few calls in the very near future. But thank you for that. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks for having me.